Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Welcome to Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge, bringing you more stories about incredible women who share their knowledge and let you in on their amazing experiences, all to help you to learn and grow along the way. My special guest today is Dori Clark, and she is a marketing and branding strategist, a professional speaker who's worked with some of the best clients, including Google, Microsoft, Morgan Stanley, DHL, Fidelity, and Yale University, the top of the top. Dori is also the author of a new book called Standout, How to Find Your Breakthrough Idea and Build a Following Around It. Dori is also a frequent contributor to the Harvard Business Review, Time Entrepreneur, and the World Economic Forum blog. She's recognized as a branding expert by the Associated Press, Fortune, and Inc. magazine, and she's also the author of another well-known book called Reinventing You, Define Your Brand, Imagine Your Future. So without any further delay, Dori, it's such a pleasure to have you on my show today. Welcome.
Thanks, Deirdre. Great to talk with you.
Oh, it's so nice to speak with you, and you have so many accomplishments, and I read your book. It's wonderful. And one of the things that you talked about in the book was kind of finding your business niche. So I'd love to have you share how you found your business niche.
Yeah. So for me, I hear this from a lot of folks when I'm giving talks. One of the most popular questions I get asked is, what do you do if you have too many ideas, if you have too many things you're excited about and you're just not sure where or how to focus? And I think in a lot of ways, I was in that position. I like to think of myself as a little bit of a renaissance person, but within the realm of marketing and branding, there were a lot of areas that I was fascinated by. But in my case, the way that I ended up finding my niche and writing my first book, Reinventing You, was I had started blogging pretty intensively in about 2010. And so my second post that I ever did for the Harvard Business Review was a post called How to Reinvent Your Personal Brand. And
nice.
It was a great topic, but it was not necessarily meant to be, a big theme that I was going to pursue. I was not thinking of it as my statement to all of humanity. It was one blog post among many. But it turned out that post became popular enough that HBR asked me to turn it into a full-length magazine article. And then from that, a number of literary agents approached me and asked me if I would be interested in turning it into a book proposal. And so I realized that it had traction, it had legs. And so I think for me, what worked for me and something that I would perhaps recommend to other people in a similar situation of maybe having a tough time choosing or wanting to choose what your niche is in a lot of ways to place small bets, try a lot of things, write a lot of blog posts or, do a lot of small experiments and see what gains traction and then move toward that thing.
I think that's great advice because so many people, you are good at different things. And if you don't try it or explore a little bit further, like you said, blog about it or speak about it, you won't know where the traction is. So your story is really, truly a testament to being able to reinvent and find what your niche is. I love, want to transition a little bit to your new book, which really is, the standout, that big idea, that breakthrough idea. Where did the inspiration come from with that book?
Well, in a lot of ways, I viewed it as being a kind of logical continuation of Reinventing You. Reinventing You is a book that's intended for people who either are in a period of change or want to make a change in their lives, whether it's changing jobs or careers or how their colleagues perceive them. But the next step, the next question is, okay, well, what next? Once you reinvent yourself into the place you want to be, into the job or the career that you want to be in, how do you then establish yourself there? How do you position yourself as being an expert in your field? And I wanted to solve that problem. And so I interviewed about 50 top thought leaders from a variety of different fields, and essentially used StandOut as a mechanism for reverse engineering their success secrets and trying to figure out what they did so that regular professionals can begin to replicate that.
Well, that's really interesting, because when you think about that StandOut idea, sometimes people might be reticent and think, well, I'm not the best at, you know, I'm not the number one chef, or I'm not the number one public relations person in the world. But at the same time, there's something very special about you, and recognizing maybe it's your story or how you got there. I think there was one example that you gave in your book that really spoke to this. So would you say that it might be a different process for everybody?
I think that's true, and I think you raise a really important point, Deirdre, because some people shy away from really even trying to stand out or to become a recognized expert because they think, well, you know, that's not for me. That's great for other people, but I'm not that special. That's just for the geniuses out there. But the truth is, we're not saying that everybody has to become a world expert in something. Obviously, that's not practical. But what I think is eminently practical is within your universe, whatever that is, whether that's your company, your community, your division, your professional association, it pays to be known for something. It pays to distinguish yourself. Maybe if you work at a company and you know you're part of the marketing department, if you become known as the person who is the go-to person about, you know, say Facebook ads or Google ads, that's right. Something that enables you to differentiate yourself. It makes you valuable because people know who to go to. If you're an IT person and you're the one who's always helping the senior executives fix their smartphones when they break, you are going to engender a lot of goodwill. And they're going to say, you know, when times get tough, and God forbid, if there's layoffs, if there are problems, they're not going to get rid of you because they know why you're valuable.
Right. And they need that. And that is something that you wrote about in the book, is almost this framework. You know, there's a lot of folks who go on theory, but you have to take that theory and actually do it. Do something with it and have that helpful guide and really show people that you know how to do it and that makes you more valuable. And I could probably talk about this for hours because I find that framework and just this notion of what you can do no matter who you are or where you are so valuable. And for you, Dori, so you as a branding expert, can you share what maybe you focused on the most for your personal brand as a way to help other people?
Yeah, absolutely. So when it comes to developing a reputation as an expert, there's really two pieces to that equation. The first is finding your idea that you're going to be known for. And so in my case, reinventing you was something that I kind of stumbled into and then you know went for. And StandOut, in a lot of ways, was an outgrowth of that. So I had the idea, but then it becomes a question of how do you spread it? How do you build your platform, as they like to say? And so for me, I decided to play to my strengths. And I think this is something that's important for anybody. For me, I had formerly been a professional journalist, and so I was very comfortable writing. And so I invested most of my time and energy in blogging as a way of getting my ideas out there and beginning to get in the mix and to have people recognize my name and begin to tune into to some of the concepts that I was presenting. But there's a million ways of doing it, and it all involves whatever you're most comfortable with. Some people really love video. Yeah, you know, or maybe they want to do a podcast. The interview format works really well for a lot of people. All of these are ways that you can use interviews to do a form of networking. And also, it's a way of really showing that you know what you're talking about and demonstrating a command of the knowledge and getting other people on board and excited about it. This is really what I call building your audience. And that's a crucial step when it comes to becoming a thought leader, because you're not a leader if you don't have followers. And so you have to do the things that will make you be discoverable to other people. It could be social media. It could be giving speeches, it could be organizing events, but somehow it's about making sure that your message is what gets across the transom in a busy world.
Yeah, let's stay on this building a following, because that is so important. It is that following that, as you mentioned, will spread the word, will get you this community and the platform. So, yes, it's one thing to have your idea, but it's totally another thing to get everybody to buy in and to be a part of whatever thought leadership or whatever it is, your big breakthrough idea. So when you start with your following, I think you mentioned it, are you using your own network first? Is that the first place that you look when you want to build a following?
So your existing network is an important place to start, for sure, because those are the people that are going to be invested in you, they care about you, and so they're likely to be supportive. That being said, for most of us, your existing network is probably not sufficient to get you to the place that you want to be. So they might be a good building block, but they're probably not going to be the sum total of what you need to advance to the next level. And so that's why you want to continue to build your network and bring in new people to that inner circle. And one of the ways that I talk about in Stand Out, I profile a guy named John Corcoran, who is an attorney in the Bay Area, and he's a podcaster, and he's actually done a wonderful job of using podcasting specifically as a networking tool. Because if you go to someone and say, oh, can I pick your brain, everyone's doing it, and people don't have time, they're busy, so they either will say no, or you are very much at the back of the line. Whereas, if your request is just slightly different, if it's, oh, can I talk with you for an hour and ask you questions, but it's an interview for a blog or an interview for a podcast, they're
exactly
going to say yes, and you move to the front of the line.
Yes. No, that is excellent advice. And I do remember that case study and noting to myself, because I'm a podcaster.
Exactly.
Yes.
You're living the dream.
Exactly. I'm talking with my special guest, Dori Clark, strategist, professional speaker, and author. And in the next segment, Dori discusses the highs and lows in her career and overcoming tough challenges.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communications and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from interest to action, giving you a roadmap that fosters deeper engagement and forges stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformance.com. Thank you.
Now, back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge, host of Women Worldwide. Welcome back to the show, where Dori Clark and I were just chatting about her new book, Stand Out, and what it takes to build a following around your breakthrough idea. So, Dori, you had mentioned that, you know, you were a journalist and a lot of the blogging that you've done, finding your niche. So, as a writer, how important do you feel writing is today? Do you have to be a great writer to be successful?
I think that you have to be a good idea person, but I think that's different than being a good writer. Certainly, if you are a good writer, there's lots of opportunities for that to spread, and it's particularly beneficial because nowadays, because anyone can publish a blog. In the past, if you were a great writer, that's nice, but if you weren't a journalist or you weren't someone who was already prominent enough to be doing op-eds for newspapers or things like that, in a lot of ways, the world would never fully see that or experience it. Whereas now, if you're a good writer and you like doing it, create a blog. You can create your own. You can do it on Medium. You can do it on Tumblr. You can do it on LinkedIn. There's a world of options, and people can see your ideas. And presumably, if it's good, they're gonna look at it and say, "Wow, you know, this person has something to offer." But if you're not a good writer, if you just don't like the process, fortunately, that's not the only way to do it. Content creation is mandatory. Writing, I would say, is optional. And so that's why people like Gary Vaynerchuk have become so successful. Here's someone who is, you know, self-proclaimed bad writer, and yet became very well known through his video series Wine Library TV. Has written, by which we mean dictated, multiple best-selling books. And it's about the fact that he's constantly coming up with ideas and sharing them. But the exact format matters a lot less.
You are so right, because it is about the content, and today we're lucky enough to have all of these different formats. I just happen to love to write, but if I didn't, I would still be able to podcast. I could do, you know, video or video blogs, vlogs, as they say. You can create content through any one of your channels. There's LinkedIn Publishing. There's no shortage. So that should give professionals a lot of hope to say, hey, I have this great idea. I've got this network. I'm building out my channels, and maybe it is through social media. Now all I can share, and share a lot, and really show everybody what I'm doing, and it doesn't have to be that longer format that I guess I grew up with back in the day. And I don't want to date myself, but I think that's really important. I love Gary Vee. So, you know, I've been watching his Wine Library, those videos. He's been doing a lot of segments, you know, about jab, 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 right hook, and it's content. So I guess content is still king, as they say, definitely. So just maybe get a little personal here and switch gears. Tell us your favorite business book, and let us know your all-time favorite fiction novel.
Yeah, so there's so many great things, but I'll tell you actually a recent business book that I've read that I really enjoyed. It was called The Automatic Customer by John Warlow, and I thought it was a really well done book, looking at the trend in subscription businesses specifically, and all of the different models of subscription businesses, and how, in very clever and interesting ways, they're able to become these cash cows. I think that a lot of other businesses could adopt some of their principles and really learn from them. So that was a thought-provoking read. And in terms of the favorite fiction book, if I'm really kicking back, I like mysteries a lot, but probably an all-time classic, I like Howard Zendt by E.M. Forster.
Oh, cool. You know, I don't think I've ever read that, so I'm going to add that to my list. Sometimes I think I ask these questions just so that I can personally add to my reading list. And the book you mentioned, The Automatic Customer with the Subscription Business, that's an interesting, sounds like a very interesting book, because I would think, and I don't know if this applies to services like a Stitch Fix, but I'm a Stitch Fix customer today, where I subscribe to Stitch Fix, and every month I get a box of clothes that fit me, because I don't like to go shopping. So I guess it applies that way. That's wonderful. Okay, so now tell us greatest accomplishment. What's the achievement that stands out the most in your mind?
Well, for me, I mean, I would say ever since I was a little kid, I wanted to write a book. So I think that it's probably been pretty gratifying for me to write a couple of them now, Reinventing You and Stand Out. I would say that probably qualifies as being an accomplishment that I'm proud of, because that's something that, unlike a consulting engagement, I mean, that's valuable and it's helpful, but it's helpful to a limited number of people and during a finite period of time. Whereas a book, theoretically for years in the future, new people can continue to discover it.
Well, I'll tell you, after reading your book, and I do have to go back and read your first, I hope that you continue to write to your heart's desire, create many more great accomplishments like that, because they are of absolute value. What about a big disappointment? And how did you overcome some kind of loss or issue that you don't mind sharing?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, on a professional sense, certainly one of the One of the things that propelled me into writing Reinventing You is that I, early in my career, I just kept getting shut down so many different ways. I actually thought originally I was going to be an academic, and after I finished my master's degree, I applied to several doctoral programs, and I got turned down by all of them, so I therefore was not going to be an academic. And then I got a job as a newspaper reporter, which I got laid off from. And then I started working in politics, and I worked on two very high-profile campaigns as a press secretary, and we lost both of the campaigns. So early on, there were a lot of challenges kind of finding my way, finding the career that I would end up pursuing.
Well, you certainly did bounce back. There's no doubt about it. If you were going to give advice about bouncing back and sort of going through disappointments or losses, what would you say to other professionals? Because going through what you went through, your mindset must have been very driven and strong, so it would be great if you shared some insights there.
Oh, yeah, thank you. Well, for me, I think the key point, and some people might disagree with the framing of this, but I think it's really important to blame outward rather than inward. Too many people just think, you know, it's got to be me. I'm just not talented. I just keep having this happen to me or whatever. And, you know, in a situation, like I experienced, I mean, when you work on a political campaign, it's very hard to assign rational blame to one person. I mean, you know, it's this whole constellation of things. I mean, it's a thing that happens. And so you can say, well, you know, that's a lousy thing that happened, but it's not my fault. You know, I didn't have direct control over this, so I just have to move forward. And so it's important to keep perspective about what you can control and what you can't control. And in the cases where it is a little bit more personal, where, you know, maybe, you've been fired or something like that. I mean, my layoff, you know, it was a layoff. I mean, multiple people were laid off, but not everyone was laid off. So, I mean, you know, there was some choosing involved. You know, for that, you just have to look at it and say, you know what, they're going to regret it. And they're being foolish in not recognizing what I can contribute, but that's okay. I'll show them. And, you know, you can't let their judgments be your judgments. If you start letting that in, it's this never-ending process because, you know, people are always going to be critical. People are always going to find fault with something. You can't go down that road. It's too dangerous.
You made some major key points on how to stay positive and keep a healthy mindset as you go through disappointment. And there is something to be said that even as you move through disappointment and you tackle new areas and even as you get gains, you're always going to be judged no matter what. And as a matter of fact, you can probably comment on this. As you become more popular, you will come up against harder judgments because you're out there more. So wherever you are, I feel what you said is so true that you can't always look at yourself and say, oh my gosh, what did I do? Why did I say that? Or why did this happen? It must be me. You would be stuck in a holding pattern your entire career, your entire life, if you let that happen. So that's really, really good advice.
Yeah, thank you very much. And it's absolutely true. I mean, as your profile increases, for sure, more people comment on you or feel entitled to comment on you because first of all, they're aware of you now and they weren't before, but B, you become kind of a public figure. I mean, you know, I mean, I feel entitled to comment on the Kardashians. You know?
Me too.
But, you know, in all honesty, it's, you know, even though, you know, I am a lot less famous and have a lot less money and whatever, and I'll probably never meet Kim Kardashian, if she read a tweet, you know, I don't tweet about Kim Kardashian, but if I did and she read it, you know, she's a person. It would probably hurt her feelings if I was critical of her. And I think people lose sight of that because they sort of think like, oh, once you become a public figure, it's almost like you're a public figure the way that, you know, like a fictional character is a public figure. It's like you're not really a real person anymore. And so people can be awfully critical and harsh. You have to adjust.
Definitely. Well, Dory, I'm another question, another burning question. Where do you see yourself in 5 years, and what's your next big idea? If you can tell us, even just a hint would be great, and if not, that's okay too. But where do you see yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I would say that at least for the next decade or so, I mean, I'm very interested and engaged with what I'm doing now. So I'm very interested in continuing to write business books and speak and do executive education teaching like I do for places like Duke Fuqua. So I think for the foreseeable future, I'm glad to continue doing all of those things. The immediate next thing on my horizon is I actually have an ebook that's going to be coming out soon. It's going to be coming out in early June. It's kind of a follow-on to Standout. I wanted to create something kind of fast for people that read Standout and were interested. This is a book called Standout Networking, and it is it's sort of short ebook with all of my best insights and advice about how to do networking right. So that's the immediate thing on the horizon.
Well, I think that's something that we should all pick up, download a copy of your ebook. So, final question, where can my listeners find out more about you and your book, Standout?
Thank you very much for asking. Well, for listeners who are actually interested in figuring out how to apply these ideas in their own lives, I have a free 42-page workbook that I actually created based on Standout. It's 139 questions that walk you through step-by-step how to create your breakthrough idea and how to build a following around it. And folks can get that on my website, which is doryclark.com. It's DoryClark.com. And then I'm also on Twitter, at doryclark.
Excellent. Well, I hope everybody follows you. I hope they get the free 42-page workbook and go through it step by step. And Dory, thank you so much for joining us today and for sharing your expert advice on how to identify ideas that really set you apart and just for sharing your own journey. So thank you.
Deirdre, thanks so much.
You're welcome. I'd also like to thank everyone for tuning into Women Worldwide. I'm your host, Deirdre Breckenridge, and until we meet again for our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge, brought to you by Pure Performance Communications on thesocialnetworkstation.com. You can reach Pure Performance at www.pureperformancecom.com. Women Worldwide is produced by SNI, and the opinions of the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect those of Social Network Intermedia, LLC, or the Social Network Station.